I'm Allison Jacobson, a transformational coach for women in midlife who are ready to rediscover who they were before they took on the roles of mom, partner, caregiver, and manager of everyone in the family. Women who are ready to live out their dreams but don't know or are afraid to take those first steps. I want to help you make midlife the time when you achieve all of your goals. So let's get started. Hey, everybody. Allison here. Thanks for joining me today. If you're new, thanks for coming on. If you are not new and have been here before, thanks for coming back. As always, if you like what you hear on Midlife Mavericks, please leave a review and a comment because that will help other women find this. And if you'd like to meet other cool women doing amazing things, head on over to my Facebook group, Midlife Mavericks, Fabulous Fierce Females. So I want to get right into it today because this is so timely for me. My guest today is Shannon Peterson. She has the owner of Live Your Truth Women Fitness Coaching. And she, oh my God, she has done literally everything. She is a certified personal trainer, a USAT certified triathlon coach, a certified running coach, a three-time world championship Ironman triathlete, oh my God, a published writer and a motivational speaker. And honestly, Shannon, I can't even remember how we met, but I think we met on Clubhouse, which is where I'm finding a lot of cool women now.
Exactly. I know. It's a great avenue because you really have real discussions on there and get to know people. I agree. Yep.
Yeah. And so anybody listening, if you're not in Clubhouse, I was like, oh God, I don't need another app. I don't need another social media. But yeah, like it is a great place to meet really cool women. So head on over to Clubhouse. I absolutely love it. So Shannon, welcome. And I have to say, I was really excited to talk to you because I am 57 years old. And just last week, so last year, I ran and completed the New York City Marathon, which was a really big deal for me. Yeah, I had never run in my life. I'd only run a mile before. And I'm seeing like all of these things you've done. And I'm like, wow. And I just did a podcast this week about how I've been slacking off and I feel like I'm retreating back to who I was before the marathon. And I'm like, no, I felt so good and I want to keep feeling really good. And so I'm so glad to talk to you because I think it's really hard for women in midlife to do this.
Absolutely. It is. I mean, I looked at your feed actually today and I was like, oh, I cannot wait for this conversation because what you brought up, I hear this all the time. There's something wrong with me. I've lost my mojo. I don't know how to get it back. I'm super depressed or I'm feeling really anxious or frustrated or scared. All of those emotions, it happens whether or not you've done something amazing, like the New York City Marathon. You know, we get into that funk of like starting to question ourselves and berate ourselves and judge in a way that really sends us into a negative tailspin instead of focusing on, okay, that's how I feel. That's real right now. But what can I do for a reset? And I think what you did today, and this is, I wrote it on your post, is the first step is really voicing it. Because when we give our thoughts vocal power, it really helps us start to find clarity and like, what is the actual problem? What is my why? How can I identify that? When we do that, it helps us gain more of that clarity. But we also find community in who we're sharing that with and find that we are so not alone ever in feeling that way. I don't care if you are the most accomplished athlete on the face of this earth. You have had points in your journey that you felt, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. How do I get it back? Everyone feels that way.
Yeah. And I want to go back because first of all, I love your website and I want everybody to go there. And so I don't get it wrong. I want to be very careful about this. It is Live Your Truth Girl, which is
Live Your Truth Women.
Live Your Truth Women. Sorry.
Women.
I love it. Live Your Truth Women, because
you have pictures on there. And I think there's this big misconception, and I know I had it for a while, of, oh, I don't want to work out with weights. I don't want to bulk up. And the pictures you show, so just so everybody knows that's listening, there's pictures of, you know, women who are 145 pounds. They're both 145 pounds, but one looks killer and the other doesn't. And so weight doesn't necessarily matter. And the misconception, and you have that picture there too, that weightlifting is going to bulk you up. It's not true, is it?
Oh, this is my biggest, one of my top three things I'm talking about right now with my women who are in that perimenopause, menopause phase where we're starting to see changes in our bodies that we're not happy about, more belly fat, less energy. You know, maybe we're feeling just kind of overall burned out and our bodies are showing that. So like you said, so many women are so afraid to lift heavy weights. First of all, because they don't really know what that means. We picture this like Olympic barbarian chick who kind of looks like a dude, you know, lifting these weights up over her head. And that's not what it means. Heavy weights is basically something you can lift six times, around that range, six-ish times, with good form, and then you can't do anymore. So if you were going to pick up a 40-pound dumbbell, that would be really, really hard. You could maybe only do it six times. I don't need you to throw that dumbbell up over your head with it, you know, all it's really just something that's heavy, because when you lift heavy weights, basically what it does for us is it stimulates your central nervous system to act like you still have estrogen. Because the fact that we first in perimenopause, your estrogen, progesterone is all over the place. It fluctuates crazy. So that's why we feel crazy a lot of times. But then when you do go into menopause, which is a year of not having your period anymore, you do have a lower estrogen level than you've ever had in your life. And estrogen is what helps us maintain lean body mass, helps us maintain bone density. So when we don't have those things in our body, it also influences the uptake of glucose in your body and how your body utilizes sugar for energy versus fat for energy. All of those things, the reason I'm bringing those up is because when you lift heavy, it helps keep the body acting like it has estrogen, and then it will still do the things you want it to do. It will still hold on to the lean body mass, if not increase it. And then same thing with your bone density and it helps keep your metabolism a little bit higher, so that you're burning more calories even when you're not working out. So all of those things happen a little bit when you lift moderate to light weights, but the jump to heavy weights in your health and fitness and energy levels is very significant. And I can say that because we are finally starting to do research on women. Yeah. Like all of our research for everything having to do with fitness and health has always been on men.
I know.
Yeah. And then we
Because they're lab rats.
Yeah. Well, did you know that even lab rats are only boys, only male
gendered
lab rats? Yes. Yes.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Well, I'm so glad you're saying this, because my daughter's an exercise science major, and she was talking about the heavy weights, but I didn't understand the whole estrogen connection. That's amazing. But I want to be careful, because you're saying lift them six times heaviest. So it's not three reps. It's more just the six times, and that's better.
Well, six reps or three reps, basically you're shooting for that range. If you can lift more than eight repetitions, it's not what we classify now as heavy enough.
Okay.
So somewhere between four and seven reps is what I would say. And so here's the thing that gets confusing and scary for women. I'm not telling your average woman who doesn't lift weights to go start lifting heavy weights.
Right.
That's going to be a progression. You start with lifting lighter weights, getting really just all of the neuromuscular firing working so that you can lift properly, not hurt your lower back or your knees or any of those things that we tend to be scared to do. Then you start to, you know, once or twice a week, you start to gradually implement some heavy strength training in there with very what we call compound muscle groups. So we're not just, I'm not telling you to go pick up like a super duper heavy bicep weight. You're going to do things that are like squats and chest press and pull-ups and things that take more weight. And honestly, not many women can go do a pull-up. So a heavy weight per se can mean you, your body weight could be heavy. So how do we start with being able to do one pull-up? Well, maybe you do one by like, you know, on your, you're laying on your back and you're lifting yourself up this way instead of vertically. There's progressions for everything. So I just want to make it really clear that if you're listening to this podcast and you're just already like, nope, not going to do that, that scares me, understand there's a progression and that you work up to the heavyweights.
And can you do it at home rather than a gym? Because I know a lot of people either A, can't afford a gym, or B, just feel intimidated being around, you know, other people. So is this something you could start at home? And what
do you mean? Absolutely. Absolutely. You need some dumbbells. Honestly, that's the biggest thing you need. Maybe you want to buy a few. I like to do the heavy weights in addition to doing things that are balance challenged, because we are getting older, proprioception, really important to stay healthy. So I might tell you to get like one of those stability balls where you can literally buy at Walmart for $10. So it's not a huge investment in money. And then maybe you buy some kind of bench or something if you wanted something to lay on that you don't feel comfortable on the floor or whatever. But it's not a huge investment. The one thing I would say is if you're going to lift at home, invest in hiring a really good personal trainer, either to come to your home once or twice and show you the ropes, or Zoom. I do Zoom still to this day.
And that's what I wanted you to talk about. So you will do Zoom classes for anybody, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, I started, of course, like we all did with COVID, doing that. But then what happened is a lot of my women really liked the flexibility of being able to work out from home and not having to drive to the gym, find a parking space, get caught in traffic, miss your appointment, all those things, right? So they invested in a couple basic things, like I'm saying, some dumbbells, a ball, a few things here and there. And now they love it. And you can still do it with your friends. You can get your friend to come on and do Zoom with you if you want some company. But a really good personal trainer can absolutely positively train you on Zoom and watch your form and help you connect the mind-body connection of how you get it right.
And talk about that, because I think that's fascinating, the mind-body connection. And you really say it's mind, body, and food, right?
Yes. All of those components come together for feeling your best. And I really talk about feeling your best, not necessarily like looking your best, because sometimes you will look your best, but we have to understand that sometimes our expectations are not realistic based on your particular body type, or based on, you know, if you're trying to look like you looked when you were 18, that's not going to happen. However, you can look like a rock star at 50 and 55 and 60 and all every age and above, and being proud of like the accomplishment of fitness is really part of it. So that's the mind body. Like when I talk about fitness, I feel like it's this amazing gateway drug to like feeling better in every capacity in your life. Because if you are committing to making your body physically healthier and stronger, that alone, that commitment, that dedication, because it's not easy, you start to build confidence and you start to feel proud of yourself. And then that spills over into, well, if I can run that New York City marathon, geez, what else could I do? Maybe I could improve my marriage, or maybe I could ask for that promotion at work. And it spills over into all aspects. So that's where I think the mind-body connection of like fitness doesn't always have to be about what does the scale say or right. The tape measure.
Right.
It is like, how do you feel as an overall human being with your energy and your positivity and outlook on life?
Yeah. And that's what I talk about with my coaching clients as well, is you just got to get outside. You just have to move your body. When you are feeling low, when you are feeling those limiting beliefs and self-doubt, just freaking move your body. And I love that. Like, even if it's just dancing around your room, right? That is what it's about. Absolutely. Yeah.
And now, I think to your, oh, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think to that point, sometimes I love that advice. I agree with it 1,000%, but it can still seem like, okay, but I'm just not motivated to do that. I'm not really motivated to go do those things. So I think the next step is, okay, so you're telling me I just need to move. How can I make that more easily digestible, more something that I feel like I can do? Mm-hmm. Maybe you join a meetup group that goes for walks on Tuesdays in your neighborhood, or you call your neighbor and say, hey, could we start doing this strength training class together on Zoom? Like reaching out and forming a community of people who will either do it with you or will hold you accountable. Exactly. Like you tell people, I'm going to start doing this thing. This is the power of the voice. Back to the power of your voice. So the power of your voice is also, okay, I've decided to do this thing, but now if I start telling everybody I'm going to do this thing, that's way more like accountability. Yep. Then people would be like, so Allison, I heard you're training for the New York City Marathon. How's that going?
Exactly.
No one wants to be like, I stopped doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's loving accountability, right? Like you have to have that right person. Absolutely. I started to say, I wanted to go back because a big thing about our group is transformation and getting past tragedy and fear. And God knows I had enough of it. My first son died. My second is intellectual disabilities. I declared bankruptcy. There was a lot of stuff, but not only did I survive, but I thrived. And I read about your transformation in your 40s, and I'd love you to talk about that because, yeah, that was powerful, right?
Yes. And we all have different trauma, but it's all trauma that we can somehow kind of relate to. Because even though I don't have children, I can feel that, what you've gone through, and I can be like, wow, that's really hard. And she did it. So I think maybe my trauma, maybe I can do that too. So I do share my story because I think a lot of times in this industry, you know, people hire you and they just think, well, it's easy for her. Look at her. She's got it all together. She's like, she's done the New York City Marathon, or she's done, you know, 40 marathons by age 40, or all these things that I can rack up for myself as accomplishments physically. But I did a lot of those things as a way to alleviate stress. My second marriage, I was married to an alcoholic, an abusive alcoholic who just kept spiraling downward. Mm-hmm. And so my sense of self-worth was in the toilet. I mean, it was bad. And I was someone who was doing really, really well in my career, in my athletic abilities. I had lots of friends, all of that, but that one influence can make a big impact. So, you know, I had that, and then I got into a terrible bike accident while training for Ironman Hawaii, and I broke my neck. I was in the hospital, which just set up a whole series of deteriorating health issues that had a lot more to do with my mental state of being married to a toxic person, than it did to actually with my exercise part of it. So the strength that I got out of being physically strong really is what gave me the strength to leave that marriage and to say, it doesn't matter how hard that's going to be or how I'm going to have nothing when I leave. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to start over. It was more important for my mental health and emotional stability throughout life to be like, nope, I have to stop that. And that's where fitness is really something that we can use to help give us that confidence to do it. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but it is. I've seen so many of my clients who have been in bad relationships, and then they start training it can be something small, like a 5K. It can be that they just want to like be able to do 10 push-ups, but that like physical strength translates. And a lot of these women end up getting out of those relationships and getting into really fulfilling relationships because they then feel like I have worth, I have value, I'm lovable, I am great. So I need someone who can match that greatness. And I mean, I think I see it over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, that correlates correlation and connection between physical strength and emotional strength is amazing. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I see it all the time too. And it's so wonderful to see that transformation happen. You know, it's really amazing. So going back, we talked about all of the issues that start coming with the estrogen and everything. But in terms of working out, I have two big concerns: heart health as a woman and osteoporosis as I get older. And so what are the most important exercises? I'm sure you're going to say all of them, but where does somebody start when they're starting right from the beginning?
Well, you start with what's achievable in the beginning. You start by like, I'm not doing anything. I have not worked out in any real way in the past however many years. So maybe the first step is like, I start walking. Walking is always a great place to start. And then you get consistent. So first you do it, then you work on your consistency, and then you set more and more, a little bit more challenging goals along the way. Not so challenging that you're like, that's too scary. I don't think I can do that. So I'm not going to do that in the beginning. But I will say that heart disease is the number one killer of women in the United States. So it's absolutely like important that we do physical fitness. And the two kinds of physical fitness that you want to work up to decrease by 70%, decrease your heart risk by that much, your cardiovascular disease, is doing the cardiovascular at a very, very high intensity, super short duration with a little break in between. So that's what we've traditionally called HIIT training. HIIT training doesn't have a number associated to it. It's just like, work hard for this much time, whatever time I've told you, and then go easy. What the studies are finding is that for women in perimenopause and menopause, we need extremely high, like 90 to 110% effort for no more than 30 seconds.
30 seconds, really?
30 seconds. And you're going to do intervals of that, but you're going to start with maybe two or three of those. And then you're going to work up to three or four of those. And by the time you get up to eight, you're going to be like, okay, I need to make this harder in some way. So let's use running as an example. I start with, I'm going to sprint, and whatever that means for me, sprinting is as fast as I can go. And I'm going to do that for, maybe I only make it for like 10 seconds the first couple of times. And then I work up to, okay, now I can do 30 seconds. Like I can do that, let's call it eight times. All right, now I need to make it harder. Now I maybe need to sprint up a hill, or maybe I need to sprint even faster than I've been sprinting, things like that. Or maybe I want to switch it. And now I'm not going to do running sprints anymore. I'm going to do on the bicycle. I'm going to on the stationary bike, and I'm going to do that. So any kind of HIIT training, again, the reason we want to do these super duper short intervals is because when we do that, the body interprets that as, it gets the signals as if you had more estrogen in your body. So then it tells your body, hey, it's okay. We can use this energy and like push, we can make it so that you're going to be able to be in a building phase, building your lean body mass, building your bone density, instead of that like kind of gray zone where it doesn't really make a lot of difference in your physique, and probably in other areas too, if you get stale after a while and do the same things. The same applies to strength training. When I'm talking about that, like those hard efforts, that's the key. Now, we don't do that every day. We do that, you know, maybe one or two of those in strength training, and maybe one or two of those in cardio. And then the rest of the time, we're doing the nice, easy movement. We're going for walks and leisure bike rides and things that allow our bodies to absorb all that hard work that we've done and not be constantly breaking our bodies down. Because we do need to understand that when you work really hard, your body has to like heal. And that healing process is the time where you actually have muscle growth or bone density growth. So then the other part needs to be super chill, easy stuff. Go take a dance class, do something fun. As women who have been athletic, maybe you've trained for your, you know, some marathons and done that, we kind of get stuck in this continual, well, this is what I do. I go to the gym and I run the treadmill for 5 miles. And I do that every day and I do the same speed, and your body gets used to that and it doesn't impact change. And we wonder why we don't look the way we want to look or feel the way we want to feel. And it's because you're in that gray zone. And when you're in the gray zone, if you're familiar with cortisol, cortisol is a stress hormone that our body naturally puts out. It's the flight or fight, mm-hmm. which is really valuable in our lives to have that. But when an exercise can increase those levels, if you're kind of in that gray zone all the time, as opposed to really hard hits and then really easy. So your cortisol isn't always here in the middle.
Got it.
It's up high for this tiny little piece and it goes back down. So we're not adding stress to our body with the strength training and the cardiovascular stuff. We're actually helping decrease our stress.
Wow. I want to go back because I know it's the 30 seconds of burst, high burst for running or something. What then do you slow down to for how long?
I would say really easy in between. So like maybe like I would go and I would sprint as hard as you could for 30 seconds. And then I would walk back to where I started from. However long that takes me. Super easy.
Okay.
And then I sprint again. And then I walk back. So I the recovery intervals, you don't want them to be like five times as long as your short burst. And that's how you keep it in control. Because if you're giving yourself 5 minutes of recovery, you might be able to do quite a few of those.
Right.
We want it to be like, no, that was hard. That's all I can. Maybe your workout is literally 10 minutes because that's all you got. Because you sprint five times 30 seconds and then you walk 1 minute in between. So that's a short burst. Now, granted, you should be warming up beforehand and cooling down, but that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of women because we're so used to like, well, if we don't do it for this much time, it's just not worth it. And I'm not going to burn enough calories and all of that. But that is a limited mindset that will not get you to your goals.
And so I want people to hear that 10 minutes, that's all you need to do. 10 minutes is nothing. You've got 10 minutes in your day. Do it.
And 10 minutes, like twice a week. And then the other days can be, I'm going to go for a walk for an hour or a leisurely bike. So that's the other side, like not just those 10 minutes, because we can only do that so often, but that is a key piece to really feeling your best. It's that huge endorphin boom that, you know, that helps with depression and anxiety and all the things that we tend to, you know, as we get older, like stress accumulates over time.
Oh yeah.
All the trauma. I'm sure you talk about this all the time. So this is a way of really diminishing that.
And the other thing I learned from training and I started going to Stretch Lab is the importance of stretching. Oh my gosh. Like, I don't think as a younger person, I was like, oh, I don't need to do that. Man, I need to do that now.
Yeah. I think, you know, the stretching, there's a lot of controversy about like whether it works or whether it doesn't work. But I think when you do stretch to the point where you allow your muscles and bones and joints to move more freely, because if you're so tight that you literally can't do a squat in good form, so you start cheating by rounding your shoulders or splaying out your knees or doing something, that's where you need to work on that flexibility to help with the movement patterns so that you can move correctly. And then the other thing I think that happens with flexibility, especially if you're doing something like yoga or assisted, it's really that mental feels good. It's not painful, but it feels like this is rejuvenating. And that's a huge mental and emotional piece that can be sometimes hard to get in other ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely love this. Oh my God. I love the way you talk about it. I can tell as a coach, you're lovingly tough, which I think is the perfect way to describe you. And for everybody listening, I'm so grateful. Shannon is offering $20 off a 1 hour personal training session that could either be in person in Arizona or online. You can have an online training session with her and take her where you go, and $20 off, which is just so generous. Thank you so much. And again, tell everybody it's liveyourtruthwomen.com.
Correct.
So thank you so much. What is the one thing you want every midlife woman to know?
I want every midlife woman to know you can do anything. Literally, there are no limiters other than your own brain. So just believe that you can do it and then surround yourself with the people who will help you get there.
man, and that is the Midlife Mavericks group. So Shannon Peterson, thank you so much. This was amazing. And I want to come out to Arizona and meet you in person.
Yes, please come.
All right, everybody, take care.